Goodbye, my love. Chapter 21. Lorraine also shut down the rumor that she got the job at Universe Group because of her affiliation with Kaysen. She showed the interview question she got asked today. In the end, Lorraine wrote, "For 3 years, I endured everything that the Bryant family did to me. Not anymore. I can beat my chest and say that I did nothing wrong to Marco while we were married." The entire post was logical. Supportive comments soon began to pour in. Oh my God. It turns out that she's innocent. Marco was the one who cheated. Good job, Lorraine. I'm happy that you stood up for yourself by exposing that scum's true colors. The nerve of him to play the victim after all he did. This is unbelievable. Who would have thought that the wife of such a rich man lived a miserable life for so long? Indeed, all that glitters isn't gold. The public opinion took a different turn. Marco didn't really care that he was getting dragged online. His attention was on the job interview details that Lorraine posted online. He was lost in thought. Lorraine had a degree in architectural design. Marco had no idea about this. He had been married to her, but he barely knew her. And this was his fault. He hadn't tried to get to know her. As he stared at the string of messages Lorraine sent to him in the past, he felt a sense of longing. A warm feeling enveloped his heart when he remembered how she took care of him all those years. But when he read the last paragraph of her statement, he knew that she was extremely mad at him. He decided to call her to talk things out. Marco picked up his phone and dialed her number. The line didn't ring at all. It cut off immediately. She had blocked him. This scandal became a hot topic on all social media platforms. Marco was so angry that he got short with his sister. Marina was hurt, so she went to air her grievance to Keely. "All I did was to release a statement so our family wouldn't be roped into that bitch's affairs. Now, the company's stock price is falling. Worse still, my brother is mad at me." Chapter 22. Marina was almost shedding tears as she spoke. "You have to help me, Keely. Remember I did all that you suggested?" Keely looked at her with concern as she lay in the bed. Under the quilt, she clenched her fists. A trace of resentment flashed in her eyes. How could Lorraine turn the tables so easily? Despite her fury, Keely thought it wise to calm Marina first before thinking of the next step to take. Keely put on a faint smile immediately. "Don't panic, Marina. Leave this to me. I'll figure out a way. However, you shouldn't tell Marco that I had a hand in what happened. I won't be able to persuade him on your behalf if he finds out. What if he becomes angrier after finding out I still hide something from him?" Since Marina was a little hesitant, Keely said with guilt, "It's all my fault. I shouldn't have made you do that before having a concrete plan. As soon as I found out that Lorraine was seeing someone else, I felt sorry for Marco." A strange expression suddenly appeared on Marina's face. She sprang to her feet, bawling her fists. "No, this is all Lorraine's fault. If that bitch wasn't in the picture, my brother wouldn't have turned against me. Lorraine stay married to Marco and leached off him for 3 years. Now, she's doing the same to another man. How shameless of her. She's also the reason why you are labeled a mistress." "What? A mistress?" Keely's face turned pale in horror. Once Marina left, Keely turned on her phone. She logged onto Twitter and saw all the insults hurled at her. Keely was so angry that her hands trembled. She called her family's PR department immediately. "I don't care how you will go about this. Just shut down the rumors. Remove my name from the top trending topic online immediately. Miss Haywood, I'm afraid that will not be possible. We can't wipe the scandal off the internet just like that. The person behind this is so powerful. Besides, he said that." "What did he say?" There was a suspicious feeling in Keely's guts. "He said that this scandal will sit comfortably on Twitter's trend table for a week. Chapter 23. What? Keely couldn't believe her ears. Who is this person? Why is he doing this to me? Keely suddenly became worried that Lorraine had a strong backer. Starlight Entertainment. I heard that the order came directly from their boss. Starlight Entertainment. Keely knew it to be a top company in the entertainment industry. How could Lorraine be affiliated with such a big company? After all, she was from a poor background. Keely wondered if her family had offended Starlight Entertainment before. She couldn't wrap her head around why this was happening. She decided to ask Marco for help. Hello, Marco. Have you seen the tweets online? They are calling me a mistress. You need to do something to shut down the rumors. It's making me sad. Keely sobbed like a helpless little girl. Unfortunately, it didn't stir up Marco's sympathy. I can't help you with this. Marina started it. You are on good terms with her, so go ask her for help. Keely gritted her teeth. She pretended to be oblivious and interceded for Marina. Don't blame Marina for this. She was worried that the man who Lorraine had an affair with would deal with you. What nonsense. Lorraine never cheated on me, and that's a fact. Marco cut her short angrily. Keely still didn't back down. She tried to sow a seed of discord between Marco and Lorraine. How are you so sure, Marco? I saw photos of Lorraine being intimate with Kaysen. It doesn't seem like they just met recently. They even had dinner together. If they... Enough. Marco interrupted her again. Keely, you've crossed the line. What happened between me and Lorraine is none of your business. Stay out of this. He then hung up on her. However, he was perturbed by what Keely said. He fixed his eyes on the photos of Lorraine and Kaysen on the screen. Chapter 24. Jealousy filled his heart when he saw how Lorraine was smiling at Kaysen. She never smiled at him in that manner before. Kaysen. Was this the guy who picked up Lorraine from the hospital that day? Was he the reason why she divorced him so easily? Talks about Lorraine's alleged affair came to a halt after her clapback. However, the news of her divorce spread like wildfire. Her family showed their concern for her. Lori, if you haven't vented all your anger, I can help you settle scores with the Bryant family immediately. Aldo stamped his crutch in anger. Rowan's call came through at this time. Lori, are you satisfied with how things turned out? If you aren't, just say the word. I'll make sure no one dares to step on your toes ever again. Wesley also called to comfort her. You must be going through a hard time. Do you need me to fly back to keep you company? Surrounded by so much love, Lorraine's heart felt warm. She realized that she had missed out on a lot while she was with that cold-blooded man. You don't have to do that, Uncle Wesley. I'm fine. Marco cannot break my soul no matter what he does. They were relieved to learn that she was standing strong. They had been afraid that she would bow in the face of Marco's antagonism and probably go back to him. Rowan said in a domineering manner, Marco is just a regular man. There are many other good men. I know a few. My subordinates in the army are gentlemen. I could introduce you to a few of them. Yes, yes. Wesley couldn't help but echo. Lorraine, if you don't like men in the army, I know many gentlemen in the entertainment circle. Would you like a soft and elegant man, or a fashionable and handsome man? Tell me your taste in men. I can arrange a blind date for you right away. Lorraine's two uncles went on and on about setting up a blind date. They were only waiting for her approval. Chapter 25. Please don't. Lorraine sighed helplessly. Uncle Rowan, Uncle Wesley. I don't want you to set up a blind date for me. Dating is the last thing on my mind now. I just want to focus on my career. In support of his granddaughter, Aldo cleared his throat and chipped in, forget it. Let Lori be. She should focus on her career since that's what she wants. Lorraine hugged Aldo and chuckled.
Thank you, Grandpa. You know me best. But since you just got employed at the company, you need someone to look after you.
Kaysen is a good man. I should speak to him at once.
Shaking her head, Lorraine immediately declined.
Stop, Grandpa. I'm not a kid. I don't need anyone to look after me.
Besides, Kaysen is a busy man.
Don't worry. I'll learn the ropes of the job myself.
No way. I can't allow you to navigate the career world on your own.
Aldo didn't give in to his granddaughter's objection.
He dialed Kaysen's number.
Hello, Kaysen.
Are you free now?
Anyway, I just wanted to ask you for a favor concerning Lori. She's going to resume work soon. If you have time on your hands, please take her to buy the things she would need for work. Her uncles and I will be less worried if she's with you.
After a pause, Aldo said, okay, that's great. I'll tell her right away.
He hung up the phone with a big smile.
He turned to Lorraine and said,
Lori, hurry up and get dressed.
Kaysen agreed.
Lorraine didn't want to go. However, she couldn't refuse her grandfather.
Kaysen soon picked her up and drove her to the shopping mall. Their first stop was a high-end women's clothing shop. Marina was coincidentally shopping there at this time.
Kaysen had gone to pick up some clothes when Lorraine bumped into her former sister-in-law.
Lorraine. Why are you here?
Marina shouted in surprise.
With a frown, Lorraine retorted, what sort of question is that?
Why can't I be here?
Chapter 26. At the thought of how Marco scolded her because of Lorraine, Marina was pissed off. She held her head high and mocked, do you really need me to tell you why you shouldn't be here?
This is a high-end store.
You are no longer
Mrs. Bryant.
A country bumpkin like you can't afford to shop here.
Lorraine didn't get angry. She just folded her arms and stared at Marina as if she was looking at a mentally ill person.
What's wrong with country bumpkins?
Marina, you have such a foul mouth.
I don't think you are any better than me.
So, get down from your high horse.
Marina's mouth flew open. She was utterly stunned at a pushover like
Lorraine was retorting.
Lorraine.
You. How dare you talk to me like that?
Aren't you afraid that I will tell my brother?
In the past, Lorraine put up with a lot of maltreatment from the Bryant family just to please Marco. She was also quick to forgive him whenever he took sides with his sister against her. But now that she was no longer in love with him, Lorraine wasn't going to tolerate any disrespect from him and his family.
Go ahead.
What a big baby you are.
Despite being an adult, you always go to your brother and complain.
Marina's face flushed with anger.
When did you become so arrogant?
Lorraine. You are a dog my family raised for 3 years.
How dare you bite the hands that once fed you?
Lorraine's face turned cold.
A cold male voice suddenly came from behind.
Who did you just refer to as a dog?
Kaysen walked over, holding a female suit.
At the sight of him, Marina's eyes lit up.
It came as a surprise to her that Kaysen was more handsome in real life.
Are you all right?
Kaysen placed his hand on Lorraine's shoulder and looked at her with great concern.
This tramp is seducing a man again.
Jealousy simmered inside Marina as she stared at Lorraine.
I was referring to Lorraine.
Do you have a problem with that?
My brother dumped her because she was no longer worthy of being our dog.
Enough.
Lorraine interrupted coldly.
Marina thought that Lorraine wanted to save her image in front of
Chapter 27.
Kaysen, so she kept talking.
What's wrong, Lorraine?
Did I hurt your feelings?
Why are you staring daggers at me?
Do you want to hit me?
Go ahead if you have the guts.
Kaysen's eyebrows furrowed as he stared at the vile young woman in front of him.
He balled his fists.
This ugly woman must have a death wish. Kaysen stepped forward, intending to teach her a lesson. But Lorraine beat him to it. She slapped Marina hard across the face. A palm print appeared on Marina's red cheek immediately. Lorraine began to massage her wrist. She uttered scornfully, "There you go, Marina. I must say that I've never seen anyone ask for a slap before. I hope you like it." The slap dazed Marina for a long time. She held her red cheek and blinked countlessly. What happened? Did Lorraine slap her just now? The moment Marina came to her senses, she screamed ferociously and charged toward Lorraine. "You bitch! How dare you hit me?" She raised her hand, intending to slap Lorraine back. But how could she succeed while Kaysen was there? Kaysen shielded Lorraine and pushed the lunatic away. Marina stumbled and fell to the floor with a thud. Pointing at Marina, Kaysen bellowed, "Keep your hands to yourself, woman. Otherwise, you will get something worse than a slap." The murderous glare in Kaysen's eyes sent a shiver down Marina's spine. However, she refused to back down. She screamed towards the entrance of the shop. "Someone just slapped me. Where are the security guards? Guards, help me." Following her non-stop screams, two security guards rushed to the scene. Marina feigned severe pain. She pointed at Lorraine and Kaysen and said, "They beat me. Arrest them now." Marina looked forward to seeing Kaysen and Lorraine getting arrested by the security guards. But to her greatest surprise, they pinned her to the floor. Chapter 28. Confused, Marina struggled hard. "Are you nuts? Why are you doing this to me? They hit me. You should be arresting them instead." These words fell on deaf ears. The security guard said to Kaysen respectfully, "Mr. Benton, we have caught the troublemaker. What should we do with her?" Kaysen said coldly, "Throw her out." "Yes, sir." The two security guards started dragging Marina out of the shop roughly. Marina continued struggling. She looked at Lorraine angrily. "Fuck off. It was that bitch who slapped me. You should be throwing her out. What are you doing?" Kaysen stepped forward and looked straight at the panic-stricken woman. "This shopping mall and even this piece of land are owned by Universe Group. For your information, Lorraine is the owner of everything." Marina's eyes widened in disbelief. The next second, she laughed mockingly. She couldn't help but wonder why Kaysen was so fond of Lorraine that he could tell such a lie for her. How can the shopping mall of his company be Lorraine's? What a joke. Marina waved his words aside. She decided to use her identity to get off the hook. "Let me go. He is the CEO of Universe Group. So what? Do you know who I am? My brother is Marco Bryant, the CEO of Bryant Group. If he finds out that you treated me in this manner, you won't get away with it." The security guards didn't cower despite her threat. They dragged her to the gate of the mall. Marina was dropped on the tarred ground like a sack of rice. Her back ached immediately. Her clothes were ruffled and her makeup was ruined. She looked nothing like a distinguished woman from a rich family. The passers-by pointed and gossiped about her. Marina wished the ground would open up and swallow her whole. This was the worst embarrassment she had ever faced. After standing up painstakingly, she shouted toward the mall, "You have bitten more than you can chew. I'll call my brother over right now. He will deal with all of you." In the conference room of Bryant Group, Marco was in a meeting when. Chapter 29. Carl knocked on the door and came in with a phone. "Mr. Bryant, your sister called. What's the matter? Is it so urgent?" Marco asked, frowning deeply. Carl replied in a low voice, "She said that she was bullied at a shopping mall and asked that you come to help her now." Marco turned to look at Carl. His cold and sharp eyes made the latter shiver. "Carl, are you too idle recently?" The matter wasn't a big deal as far as Marco was concerned. "Why did Carl interrupt his meeting because of that. Carl explained in a fit of panic, Mr. Bryant, she said your ex-wife slapped her. Carl stared at his boss's face warily as he spoke. When he saw Marco's face darken, he bit his lower lip and didn't have the guts to continue.
What else?
Marco asked impatiently. Your ex-wife is in the company of Kason Benton, the CEO of Universe Group. They are currently shopping together. Carl blurted out in one breath. Marco's eyebrows furrowed. His eyes glistened with displeasure.
Lorraine was with Kason right now?
Marco stood up abruptly and said, the meeting is suspended. Get the car ready. It took Marco only a few minutes to arrive at the shopping mall. Once Marina saw him, her face lit up. She rushed over to him.
Thank goodness, you are finally here. I know you still care about me.
With tears in her eyes, Marina turned her face sideways to show him her red cheek.
Look, Lorraine slapped me. It hurts so much.
You have to help me get back at her.
Marco was annoyed by his sister's crying.
At this moment, Lorraine and Kason walked out of the shopping mall together. Marina pointed at them and shouted, Look!
I wasn't lying.
Those two are dating.
Marco turned in the direction that his sister pointed.
Chapter 30. He saw Lorraine. She was wearing a brand new suit. It accentuated her curves and gave her an elegant but domineering aura. She was standing so close to Kason. They looked like a perfect couple. A ball of fury swirled inside Marco. He felt cheated. It was as if someone had taken away his most prized possession from him. To make matters worse, Lorraine ignored him and walked past him with
Kason.
Wait. Marco grabbed her arm and pulled her back roughly. Lorraine looked at him with sharp eyes. She shook off his hand immediately.
What are you doing?
As Marco stared at her defiant face, his heart ached. She just treated him like dirt. Why did she hate him so much?
Marco awkwardly withdrew his hand.
He looked sharply at Kason and
Lorraine.
What are you two doing together? Was the recent scandal not enough?
Lorraine couldn't help but chuckle at his righteous interrogation.
She uttered sarcastically, Marco, do you need me to remind you of who you are?
You are just my ex-husband.
We are no longer married, so I can go out with whomever I like.
Stay out of my business.
A lump went up Marco's throat when he saw that Lorraine wanted nothing to do with him.
I have every right to question you, Lorraine.
You hit my sister.
He retorted in a hoarse voice.
Upon hearing that, Lorraine glanced at Marina, who had a smug smile. It occurred to Lorraine that Marco didn't intend to listen to her side of the story, just like old times. He was always quick to scold her whenever anyone snitched on her. Never did he take sides with her.
Last time, it was Keely.
This time, it was Marina. Nonetheless, Lorraine was past feeling heartbroken because of Marco's actions. This man in front of her was nothing short of a troublesome stranger to her. Putting on a cold smile, Lorraine spat, Yes, I hit your sister. If you want to settle scores with me, I'll be waiting for you. Now, excuse me.
Chapter 31. She turned around, intending to leave. But Marco wasn't going to allow that.
Stop right there. Did I permit you to leave?
Don't even dare walk out on me.
Marco Bryant.
That's enough.
Kason, who had been keeping his cool, suddenly roared at Marco. He stood in front of him and stared at him dead in the eye.
You have no right to boss Lorraine around.
Why don't you ask your sister what she did first?
Confusion appeared on Marco's face.
What do you mean?
Kason sneered.
You should be thankful that Lorraine is a merciful person.
Your sister deserves to be beaten to a pulp, but Lorraine only gave her a slap.
Watch your mouth, Kason Benton.
Marco roared, stepping forward.
You don't believe me.
Kason raised his eyebrows.
Fortunately, there are surveillance cameras all over the shopping mall. Go and check out the recording yourself. Kaysen's words made Marco doubt Marina. He turned to look at her. Marina's forehead broke out in cold sweat. It hadn't crossed her mind that the altercation was recorded. Marco, don't believe him. I did nothing wrong. He is Lorraine's sugar daddy, so he's naturally taking her side. They are lying. The words sugar daddy diverted Marco's attention from the issue at hand. With a sullen face, he asked Kaysen, this matter is between me and Lorraine. What's your relationship with her? Why do you think you have the right to stand up for her? Kaysen explained with a straight face, I have every right to do so because Lorraine is an employee of Universe Group. It's my duty as the CEO to protect my employees at any given opportunity. You are doing this just because she's your employee. Marco scoffed. Do you think I'm dumb? I don't believe that lame excuse of yours. A boss would never take his employee shopping and fight for her. Only an idiot would believe such an excuse. Chapter 32. In the face of Marco's mockery, Kaysen asked calmly, now tell me, what gives you the right to interrogate me? I'm Lorraine's boss. What are you to her? I'm her husband. Marco blurted out without hesitation. Point of correction, ex-husband. Kaysen's eyes glistened with sheer mockery. You were married to Lorraine for 3 years, but you never performed your duties as her husband. She was wronged every day under your nose. She's no longer your wife. Stop being a pest. Don't show up in front of her ever again. Marco was rendered speechless. Guilt overwhelmed him. He hadn't paid attention to Lorraine while they were married, so he had no idea of her suffering. Kaysen turned to look at Marina. If you make trouble for Lorraine again, keep in mind that you will get more than a slap. Kaysen put his hand around Lorraine's shoulder and walked away with her. This time, Marco didn't attempt to stop them. Marco! Do something! Why are you standing still? You haven't avenged me yet. Marina stamped her feet like a spoiled child. I called you here to teach them a lesson. Why did you let them go? They humiliated me. At the sound of his sister's complaint, Marco's face darkened. He remembered what Kaysen said. Tell me the truth, Marina. Did you make trouble for Lorraine? He inquired seriously. Of course not. I did nothing wrong. Lorraine just slapped me out of nowhere. Marina lied with guilt in her eyes. Marco squinted at her. Since you say so, let's go and check the surveillance footage. Marina's heart skipped a beat when she heard that. She would be in hot water if her brother watched the CCTV footage. She began to concoct an escape plan in her mind. However, Marco held her hand and dragged her into the monitoring room of the shopping mall. Shortly after, the footage of the clothing store was played on the big screen. Marco saw how harsh Marina was to Lorraine. He also heard her call Lorraine a dog. It dawned on him that Lorraine had put up with a lot of maltreatment from his family in the past. Chapter 33. How could he have missed it all? Marco couldn't stand it anymore. He stared daggers at his sister, whose head was now lowered in guilt. And you said you did nothing wrong. Marco, I can explain. Marina said, reaching out to touch him. Shut up. There's nothing to explain here. Marco raked his fingers through his hair. You had better go and apologize to Lorraine. Otherwise, you won't get a penny from me again. What? Marina's jaw dropped. She was shocked that her brother, who adored her, was ready to cut off her allowance if she didn't apologize to his ex-wife. This fueled her rebelliousness. No way. I will never apologize to that bitch. With these words, Marina stormed out of the control room. Marco didn't bother to go after her. He just kept staring at Lorraine's face in the video. Guilt set in all over again. He couldn't help but think how much hardship Lorraine had suffered in the past 3 years because of his negligence. But why did she never tell him about it? She kept things away from him while they were married. And now, she was doing the same thing. She didn't even tell him that she needed a job. He could have pulled some strings for her. Why did she go to Kaysen instead? At the thought of how Kaysen acted like Lorraine's knight in shiny armor today, Marco was even more annoyed. He whipped out his phone and called Carl. Get an insider in universe. Group to keep an eye on Lorraine for me.
Why?
Did something happen? Carl asked curiously.
Nothing.
Just do as I say.
Marco took a deep breath.
I just want her to be safe even though we are now divorced. Chapter 34. Morning came quickly. It was Lorraine's first day at work. Due to the rumor that broke out online, the workers in the architectural design department already knew that a newcomer would be joining them. When Lorraine entered the office in the morning, she got several intense gazes.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine Torres. I'm the new designer.
Nice to meet you. Lorraine stood in front of everyone and introduced herself.
Welcome.
Thank goodness there's another beautiful lady in our department.
I heard about you.
You killed the interview.
The HR director, Vicky, even got fired.
Humph. She only got the job because of Mr. Benton. Some of the workers took the initiative to praise her as they welcomed her. However, a couple of them expressed their disdain in low grumbles. Although Lorraine heard these negative comments, she didn't allow them to get to her.
That's enough, guys.
It's Lorraine's first day here. Don't scare her away.
A man, who looked like he was in his early 40s, walked up to
Lorraine and stretched out his hand.
Lorraine Torres, right?
I'll call you Lorraine if you don't mind.
Let me introduce myself.
I'm Barry Gray, the director of the department.
Hello, Mr. Gray.
Lorraine shook his hand. Barry fed his eyes on the newbie's body secretly. Lorraine was wearing the suit that Kaysen picked out for her yesterday. She looked professional. However, it didn't stop her from being drop-dead gorgeous. Lust bubbled up in Barry's heart when his eyes fell on her curves. Lorraine was so hot. No wonder a top businessman like Marco got married to her.
Ahem.
Barry cleared his throat as obscenity glistened in his eyes.
To welcome you, we should hold a party at Fuel Bar tonight.
You will attend, right?
Chapter 35.
Lorraine's first instinct was to decline the invitation. However, she reasoned that it would be rude. The party would afford her the opportunity to get to know her colleagues, so she had to agree. Everyone in the department went to Fuel Bar together after closing hours. Under the neon lights, there was a crowd wiggling crazily on the dance floor. The air reeked of booze and cigarettes, making the atmosphere erotic. Lorraine didn't join them. She just sat away from the lights, feeling very bored. It was at this moment that Barry brought over two glasses of wine and sat next to her.
Lorraine, I heard that Vicky was hard on you during the interview, and that it was Mr. Benton who came to your rescue.
Did you know him before that day?
No, not at all.
However, I'm grateful that he hired me. It's a great opportunity to work in Universe Group. Lorraine didn't want to expose her true identity, so she denied knowing.
Kaysen.
An evil glint shone in Barry's eyes as he took a sip of the wine. He felt relieved to learn that Lorraine had only been fortunate to meet Kaysen on the day of the interview. It was alleged that she was dating him, so this made her ex-husband cut all ties with her. She had no one to help her now. Barry licked his lips as his conniving mind put two and two together. In his eyes, Lorraine was the perfect prey. He felt that nothing would happen to him if he took advantage of her. Barry put on a fake smile again and held out the glass of wine he had prepared for her.
Here you go, beautiful.
Let's drink together. At the same time, he leaned toward her and tried to kiss her.
Lorraine shifted away from him in a hurry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gray. I can't drink.
Don't turn down my kindness. I threw this party for you.
Barry said.
Listen to me. Just drink the wine. If you behave obediently, I will protect you in the company from now on. I promise to put you on all the top projects.
Goosebumps popped up on Lorraine's skin when she noticed his perverted gaze.
Chapter 36.
No, thanks. I don't need your protection. I 11 depend on my ability to rise to the top at work. You don't need to pull strings for me.
When Barry noticed that she was a hard nut to crack, a deep frown appeared on his face.
Lorraine, are you going to forfeit my offer? You should be thankful that I have eyes for you.
Why are you so proud?
Oh, is it because Mr. Benton recognized you as a talent during the interview?
Just so you know, you can't be arrogant in Universe Group because of that.
If you don't please me, you won't pass the probation period.
These threatening words made Lorraine sneer.
Was this really happening? Was she getting sexually harassed by her boss on her first day of work?
He was doomed this time.
On the second floor of Fuel Bar, Marco and his friends were drinking in a private room.
You are finally a free man, bro.
You have gotten rid of that bumpkin you married.
It calls for celebration.
Let's get drunk tonight.
A handsome man was sitting on the sofa, holding a glass of wine in one hand and putting the other on Marco's shoulder. He sipped the wine happily.
Marco brushed off his hand in disgust.
He drank up the wine in his glass with a gloomy face.
Stop talking nonsense, Slater.
A dashing man, who had on a pair of golden frame glasses, was sitting on the other side of the sofa. He had on a suit that made him stand out in this chaotic bar.
He tut-tutted and shook his head.
Don't interrupt me, Jimmy.
Slater leapouted discontentedly.
Did I say anything wrong?
Our friend here was imprisoned in that marriage by
Lorraine, who didn't deserve him.
She's a leech.
It's a good thing that he divorced her.
Shaking his head again, Jimmy sighed.
Marco, don't listen to this dude.
Life wasn't a bed of roses for Lorraine during those years.
Now that you are divorced, you should pay handsome alimony.
No, don't give her anything.
Don't listen to him, Marco.
Slater didn't like the idea.
Remember that she leached off you for 3 whole years.
Just days after the divorce, she began to date Kaysen.
She's a slut.
You don't owe her anything, so don't give her a penny.
Enough.
Marco put down his glass on the table with a bang.
Chapter 37.
Slater was taken aback.
Soon, he sobered up.
What's wrong with you, bro?
Why did you get angry all of a sudden?
I'm just trying to help.
Marco took a deep breath and ran his fingers through his hair.
He didn't know what was wrong with him.
The picture of Lorraine with Kaysen made him so uncomfortable.
All of a sudden, Slater pointed toward the ground floor and shouted.
Hey, look over there.
That woman looks so much like your ex-wife.
Lorraine.
Marco and Jimmy looked in the direction that their friend pointed, only to find Lorraine close to a strange man.
There you have it, Marco.
See why I said that you shouldn't give her anything?
She's a whore.
Your divorce is barely a week old, but she's already seducing different men for money.
How disgusting.
Slater looked at Lorraine with disgust.
Marco's eyes suddenly darkened.
He stood up and strode away.
His friends stared at his back in confusion.
Back in the secluded corner downstairs, Barry continued to push his luck.
The other employees in the department were partying far away.
They probably didn't see what was happening, or they purposely turned a blind eye.
Lorraine was done tolerating him.
She slid her hand into her bag.
She had brought a bottle of pepper spray along.
Now, she wanted to spray it in this filthy man's eyes.
Barry was oblivious to what was about to happen.
The cold look on Lorraine's face turned him on even more. He looked forward to breaking her resolve soon. Just as he reached out to touch Lorraine's face, he felt a sharp pain in his arm. He looked at it, only to find a big hand squeezing it mercilessly. Before he could fight back, he was thrown about 3 meters away. Ouch! Barry cried out in pain once he crashed to the hard floor. The glass in his hand was broken into pieces. The wine spilled on the floor. With her mouth agape, Lorraine looked up at the man who threw Barry away. She was even more shocked when she saw his face. Chapter 38. Marco? Why are you here? Fuck. Who the hell did this to me? Show yourself. Barry slowly got up from the floor, holding his aching waist. Bastard. Why did you do that? I'll call the cops on you. Just wait and see. Just as Barry took out his phone from his pocket, Marco turned around with his eyes blazing. What did you just say? The flickering light of the bar fell on Marco's face at this time. Barry's jaw dropped as he looked at him in horror. He stammered. Marco. Marco Bryant. He just cursed at the CEO of Bryant Group. He was doomed. Get the hell out of here now. Marco roared at Barry, who was trembling uncontrollably. Yes, sir. Barry ran away as fast as his legs could carry him. As soon as they were alone, Marco stood in front of Lorraine and leaned in. His warm breath sprayed on her face. Lorraine's body stiffened. She crossed her arms over her bosom as she looked at him vigilantly. Ex-couples quarrel. Get out of my way. Lorraine tried to leave, but Marco held her back. Why are you here, Lorraine? Marco's tone was filled with inexplicable resentment and suspicion. Lorraine rolled her eyes at him and scoffed. Marco, who do you think you are? Why do I have to answer to you? Stop poking your nose in my business. What's wrong with you? I just saved you from that pervert. The least you can do is say thank you. Marco roared. Did I ask for your help? Lorraine fired back, her eyes blazing. The next second, she took out the pepper spray from her bag and shook it in front of Marco. Chapter 39. Lorraine said with disdain, "See? I had it all under control. But you butted in and spoiled my plan. For your information, I'm no longer the spineless woman you used to know. The bad experience I had in your family made me a tough cookie." Marco was rendered speechless. Guilt and regret filled his heart when he thought about how Lorraine suffered at the hands of his family. Just as the ex-couple held each other's stare in silence, Lorraine's colleague, Jolie Robles, came over. "Lorraine, Mr. Gray just ran to us as if he had seen a ghost. He said that the party is over." "What happened? Are you all right?"
"I'm fine, Jolie. Thanks for asking." Jolie's cubicle was next to Lorraine's. She was very friendly. At work today, she taught Lorraine the ropes of all the projects the department was currently working on. Jolie patted her chest and breathed a sigh of relief. "I'm leaving now. How about we go home together?"
"No, I'll drive her home," Marco piped up. It wasn't until this moment that Jolie noticed the man standing next to Lorraine. Her eyes widened suddenly. "You are?" She was just about to blurt out his name in excitement. But when she saw his sharp eyes, she sealed her mouth.
"Ahem. I just remembered that I have an important errand to run. Bye.
Lorraine." Jolie took to her heels without giving her colleague a chance to speak. Marco smiled with satisfaction. He felt relieved after finding out that Lorraine was here for a department party. He said to her, "Let's go. I'll give you a ride home." There was a hint of expectation in his tone.
"No, thanks. I don't accept rides from just anybody," Lorraine refused coldly. She slung her bag on her shoulder and began to walk away. However, he blocked her. Marco uttered, "There is no room for negotiation. I'm not a stranger."
"Lorraine.
You are safer riding with me than in a taxi at this hour.
Chapter 40. Don't be stubborn. Lorraine guffawed mockingly.
You have got to be kidding me, Marco. What makes you a safer choice?
Besides, why are you so hell-bent on giving me a ride?
If you want to act like you are a good man, get someone else to be your co-star.
I don't have time for games.
In the past, he never did anything for her.
He dismissed her needs and never stayed at home. The only woman he cared about and moved mountains for was Keely. Why was he pestering her now that she didn't want anything to do with him?
What a troublesome man.
I'm acting like a good man?
Didn't you learn anything from what almost happened to you just now?
Marco grunted. Universe Group is not a safe place for you to work. It's bad enough that your superior sexually harassed you.
Such a thing would never happen in Bryant Group.
My employees are good and morally upright.
Marco had it in mind to persuade her to quit her job. He planned on arranging a suitable position for her in his company.
But Lorraine was livid even before he finished speaking. How dare he insinuate that her father's company was bad? Was he doing this to provoke her?
With a sneer, Lorraine shook off his hand and said sarcastically, "Are you insinuating that Universe Group is bad? Do you think your company is better than it?
The nerve of you, Marco. You used your company's account for your selfish motives and slung mud on me. But you are here acting all righteous. It was actually Marina who did all those things."
Nonetheless, Marco didn't argue.
He blamed himself for not managing his company well enough. Something of that magnitude wouldn't have happened under his nose if he was stricter.
"I'm sorry about that, Lorraine. If you want, I can issue a statement to clarify everything. I promise that such a thing won't happen again."
Lorraine eyed him. She didn't believe a word that came out of his mouth. In her opinion, he was just apologizing because the scandal was affecting the stock price of his company. She also reasoned that he was doing it to protect his lover, Keely.
"Spare me your lies, Marco. I've had it up to here with you and Keely. Stay out of my life."
After shouting these words, Lorraine walked out without a backward glance. Marco was shocked by the determination in her eyes. He froze on the spot. His tongue went dry. He stared at her back in a daze for what seemed like ages.
Unexpected.
The next morning, Lorraine went to work as usual. She was just settling into her cubicle when Barry came to her. He dumped a pile of documents on her desk with a fake smile.
Chapter 41. Go through these documents. They are about the project of a children's park we are currently working on.
It's your first project here.
Lorraine felt sick at the sight of Barry's smile. However, she kept her cool. Jolie overheard what Barry said. She took one look at the documents and couldn't help weighing in.
"Mr. Gray, Lorraine is still a newbie. Why did you hand over such a tasking project to her?
Don't you think it's too much?"
Lorraine stood up and asked, "Jolie, what's wrong? Is there something odd about this project that I should know of?"
"The proposed design for the children's park is complicated. It will also take a long time to complete. Besides, the project was given to Eliza's team more than a month ago."
Glaring at Barry, Jolie added, "Why are you making Lorraine work on it alone?"
Barry's smile froze. He was taken aback by Jolie's defensive outburst. What happened last night had been so embarrassing. He was extremely mad when he got home. Although he wanted to get rid of Lorraine with just the snap of his fingers, he couldn't act irrationally because Kaysen personally hired her. Besides, she was Marco's ex-wife and he seemed to care for her. This was why he came up with a plan to slowly sabotage Lorraine on the job. Despite Jolie's antagonism, Barry still didn't want to let this slide. He retorted shamelessly, "You know nothing, Jolie. Executing the project is not that hard. I gave it to Lorraine so she can brush up her skills early enough."
But Jolie was about to get short with Barry,
but Lorraine stopped her.
"Forget it," said Lorraine, looking at Barry calmly. "I'll take over this project."
"Lorraine!" Jolie exclaimed. Barry's lips curled up in a sinister smile.
"That's what I'm talking about. Young people nowadays are so decisive.
Don't let me down, Lorraine." Lorraine could make out the sarcasm in his words. However, she ignored him and got right to work. The amusement park project was indeed a difficult one. For such designs, many things needed to be considered: overall concept, division functions, specification standards, equipment and materials, tourist psychology, and economic benefits. Chapter 42. Nevertheless, it was a challenge that Lorraine wanted to take up. For the next 2 weeks, she worked hard day and night. She was finally able to complete the preliminary design plan. She was confident in her work. But after she tendered it to Barry during a meeting, he flipped through it casually and threw it on the table without taking a close look at it.
"Absolute rubbish. Is that the best you can do, Lorraine? It seems you are empty-headed.
The idea you used during the interview was only a flash in the pan. This plan of yours isn't even better than that of a high school student. I'm highly disappointed in you." Everyone at the meeting turned to look at Lorraine while she was being scolded. Lorraine frowned deeply. Her eyes narrowed to slits. Something told her that Barry was ridiculing her work because of what happened at the bar 2 weeks ago. She wasn't going to let him trample on her.
"Mr. Gray, you barely took a look at the plan. How about you let our client be the judge?
Send it to them first." Barry slapped the table angrily.
"What nonsense. I can never approve of such a bad plan. It's my duty to do what's good for the company. I've already decided to send Eliza's plan to them instead."
"And what do you mean by that? Are you doubting my evaluation?" Lorraine nodded without hesitation. Barry rose to his feet immediately. He pointed at her and roared.
"Lorraine, don't be complacent just because you were recruited by Mr. Benton. Have you forgotten that I'm your superior? You have one strike. I'll make sure to state this in your performance report."
"I'm being complacent."
Lorraine sneered.
"Oh, please. Is this because I turned down your advances that night? You are having your revenge under the guise of doing what's good for the company."
"How could?"
Barry cut her off immediately.
"Shut up. What the hell are you talking about? You are a liar."
However, it was too late. All the workers at the meeting stared at him in surprise. Lorraine wouldn't let him go easily. She took out her phone and played a recording. It was a recording of her encounter with Barry at the bar. Judging by the way he approached her that night, Lorraine had suspected that he was up to something, so she recorded their conversation secretly. Chapter 43. This was irrefutable evidence, so Barry was shocked to the bone.
"Oh my God. Never in a million years would I have believed that Mr. Gray is a pervert."
"Same here. He sexually harassed her, didn't he? This is so terrifying. I can only imagine how Lorraine felt that night. No wonder the last female intern resigned out of the blue. Something tells me Mr. Gray had a hand in it." The meeting room was in an uproar.
"Lorraine Torres." Anger seemed off Barry's eyes like ultraviolet rays.
"The recording is fake. She's trying to frame me.
Guys, don't believe her."
Barry wanted to pounce on Lorraine. However, he restrained himself because of the onlookers. Lorraine was as calm as ever. She folded her arms and uttered,
"Barry, it's over. I have already given the relevant evidence to the management of this company and the police. Very soon, we will know if this recording is fake or not."
Barry's face suddenly turned deathly pale. The next second, he suffered a banging headache. He held his head and plopped up on his chair. He muttered, "How could this be?" At this moment, there was a knock on the door of the meeting room. Two uniformed policemen came in.
"Excuse us, everyone. Which of you is Barry Gray?" All eyes riveted to the man who was sitting at the head of the table. The policeman moved towards him immediately.
"I guess you must be Barry Gray. Please come with us."
"No. Why are you arresting me? Let go of me." Despite Barry's struggle and screams, he was dragged out of the company like a criminal. One of the employees covered her mouth and uttered, "Am I dreaming? Was the director arrested?"
"Well, you are not.
Mr. Gray is no longer the director. I'm sure he would be fired now that the cops whisked him away." Another employee gloated. Chapter 44. Everything happened so fast. The employees were still in a daze. Even Lorraine, the brain behind everything, was a little surprised. She didn't expect the police to come so soon. The arrest brought an end to the meeting. One of the policemen asked Lorraine to cooperate with the cops during the investigation. Lorraine couldn't help but ask, "I appreciate your dedication to your job. However, I'm rather surprised that you came quickly. I had only called the police a while ago." She felt something was wrong. The recording was good evidence, but it didn't prove that Barry actually assaulted her that night. It was rather odd that police officers were immediately dispatched to arrest him. The cop soon explained things to her. "Miss Torres, it might interest you to know that Barry is not a first-time offender. He has harassed other women and also used his power to embezzle money. In the past, many victims have filed reports against him and also provided substantial evidence." Lorraine's jaw dropped when she heard this. However, she still felt that there was more to this than met the eye. She reasoned that it was no coincidence that Barry's crimes were exposed soon after he harassed her. Her instincts told her that someone was behind all this. Lorraine could only think of one person. This person had paid so much attention to her recently. Her heart felt warm at the thought of him. After seeing the policeman off, she took out her phone and dialed Kaysen's number.
"What's up, Lori?"
Kaysen's voice was as cheerful and gentle as ever. A wide smile appeared on Lorraine's face.
"Thank you for helping me deal with Barry. You didn't have to do that. I could have handled it myself."
"Lori, don't worry. I have already fired Barry. Now that I know what happened, I will make sure that we provide more evidence of his shady dealings so his sentence will be increased."
Chapter 45. The fury in Kaysen's voice couldn't be mistaken. He was so mad at Barry. He badly wished he could lock up that scumbag and throw away the keys.
"One more thing, Lori." Kaysen changed the topic.
"Now that Barry is fired, the director position is vacant. How about you take it? This way, no one will dare make things difficult for you in this company."
Lorraine turned down the offer immediately.
"No. Ascending such a seat is just too soon. People won't respect me for my talent if you promote me now. They will accuse me of sleeping my way to the top, just like they are already insinuating. Besides, it will prevent me from seeing the true colors of the employees here. I'd love to prove myself while I observe how the employees are. In this way, I will be able to weed out the bad eggs along the line. It's like killing two birds with one stone."
Kaysen saw reasons with her. As always, he respected her decision.
"Okay, you can do as you wish. But you must tell me if something bad happens to you."
"Deal.
Deal."
A wave of determination surged through Lorraine after she ended the call. She was ready for the tough path ahead of her. On the other hand, Kaysen was confused. He just found out a few minutes ago that Barry sexually harassed Lorraine. He hadn't done anything before the arrest was made. Why then did Lorraine call to thank him for his involvement in the matter? Who on earth helped her? And what was their purpose? In the CEO's office of Bryant Group, Jimmy ended a call and said to the man standing by the French windows, "Everything is settled. Barry Gray was just arrested by the cops.
I'm certain that he will get a harsh sentence once he's taken to court. The man turned around, revealing a cold and handsome face. It was Marco. Thanks for your help, pal. Dude, have you forgotten that I'm the best lawyer? Are you just going to thank me? Jimmy raised his eyebrows. My service is expensive. How do you intend to pay me? Don't worry. I will reward you handsomely. Marco glanced at him. A reward wasn't all that Jimmy cared about at this time. He had questions he badly needed answers to. Chapter 46. Tell me, Marco. Why are you suddenly helping your ex-wife? You abandoned me and Slater at the bar that night to save her, didn't you? You just helped her solve such a big problem. What's up with you? Marco was taken aback by these questions. He coughed awkwardly and replied, "Didn't you say that Lorraine had a hard time while she was married to me and I needed to make it up to her?" Jimmy was speechless. At this moment, Marco's phone rang. The caller ID indicated that it was Keely. Marco glanced at the phone and looked away with a frown. The phone rang for a few seconds before it stopped. Jimmy looked at the phone and found that there were 8 missed calls, all from Keely. He looked at Marco in shock. He knew that Marco cared about Keely a lot, so it was surprising that he didn't pick up her calls. It appeared that something was wrong. Pushing his glasses up his nose, Jimmy said seriously, "Out with it? Marco. My curiosity is killing me. Why are you not picking up Keely's calls?" Marco snorted. "Mind the business that pays you, pal. Don't you want to get your reward?" Jimmy raised both hands in surrender. "Fine, I won't ask that question ever again. But as your best friend, I advise you to take some time to think this over. Who do you love between Lorraine and Keely?" "Love? Where did that come from?" Marco frowned deeply. He had no interest in love. But for some weird reason, the first person that popped up in his mind was Lorraine. He pictured her beautiful face all of a sudden. Lorraine walked into the tea room of the architectural design department. Jolie approached her with a big smile. "Lorraine, you did a great job," Jolie praised with a cup of coffee in her hand. Barry was fond of harassing beautiful young ladies in the department. We were all sick of him. However, no one was bold enough to do anything because he was the director. Chapter 47. Lorraine became happier when she found out that she had gotten rid of such a bad guy. "It's all right now, Jolie. That scumbag has gotten his reward. You don't have to work in fear anymore," she said comfortingly. The two of them shared a warm smile for a while. They felt like they became closer. Both women had been talking in excited tones, so they were audible. One of their female colleagues, who overheard them, chimed in, "Don't get too excited, especially you, Lorraine. You caused trouble in this company only a few days after getting employed. I advise you to keep a low profile if you want to stay on the job." Jolie turned to look at the female colleague in surprise. "What do you mean by that, Eliza?" Disdain was written all over Eliza Welch's face. "Did I speak French? You know exactly what I meant. Arrogant people disgust me. It's ridiculous that a newbie has seen to it that 2 directors got fired in a short time. Who does she think she is? Is this company her family's property?" Lorraine could tell that Eliza disliked her a lot. When Jolie was about to talk back, she stopped her. "Don't accuse me falsely, Eliza. I didn't make trouble." "How could you even say that? I'm the victim here. There is nothing wrong with me fighting back against the bully. Tell me, wouldn't you have done the same if you were in my shoes? Hey. You sharp-tongued shrew." Eliza was horrified. She glared at Lorraine and left without another word. When Lorraine and Jolie returned to their cubicles, they met their colleagues discussing about the new director. "Guys, have you heard?
A new director will be chosen from the best of the employees in this department. Who do you think it would be?
Of course, it will be Eliza. She is the most experienced among us. If her design plan for the amusement park is accepted by the client, she will be promoted. It appears that will happen soon because the client already accepted her plan. Eliza closed such a huge deal. I'm certain that she will be appointed as the new director. Everyone concurred with this. From then on, they began to treat Eliza more politely. Eliza was also sure that she had bagged the director position. She put up airs around the department and bossed her colleagues around. She made it a point of duty to torment Lorraine, who had exchanged words with her earlier on. Lorraine, go and get me a glass of water. Lorraine, print out this design drawing and bring it to my desk immediately. Sort out these reports and submit them in 30 minutes. Stop slagging off. Chapter 48. Eliza threw a pile of documents to Lorraine and clapped her hands authoritatively. Lorraine boldly refused to do them. If my memory serves me right, this is not my job. Besides, you are not my boss. You don't have the right to order me around. Why have you been bothering me lately? Eliza was stunned. Never did she expect Lorraine to retort after the recent discovery. How dare you talk back at me, Lorraine? You are just a newbie. I was already working in this company long before you came. It's normal for me to assign tasks to you. Besides, I will be made the director soon. I have every right to boss you around. You had better do as I say now. Otherwise, you will regret it in the future. Lorraine called her bluff. Okay, show me what you got. What a joke. The entire company belonged to her. How could she get scared over a threat from a mere employee? Eliza grunted angrily. She badly wanted to tear Lorraine's mouth apart with her bare hands. The other employees didn't weigh in because they were afraid of offending the incoming director. Just as the two were arguing, a voice came from the door. Excuse me, who is the designer in charge of the amusement park project? Our manager wants to see her. Eliza pushed Lorraine out of the way as she rushed to meet the man. She flashed him a smile. That's me. Another man came in and said, Oh, it's you? Hello, I'm Nate Dempsey, the manager of the park. Hello, Mr. Dempsey. How may I help you? I reckon that you are a busy man. If you wanted any aspect of the plan to be modified, you should have sent the word. You didn't have to come all the way here. Eliza flattered Nate as she spoke to him. She was quite confident. Nate smiled back. Well, it doesn't matter. We are satisfied with your design plan. But a few details need to be discussed in person. In that case, please come in. Eliza excitedly led Nate to the meeting room. On the way, she shot Lorraine a searing and mocking glare. Lorraine rolled her eyes and got back to work. In the meeting room, Eliza's received a great shocker just after she settled down. Chapter 49. The design plan Nate picked wasn't hers. It was Lorraine's. 1. This is not my design, Eliza quipped, her eyebrows knitted. It's not yours. Nate was confused. Didn't you say that you are the designer in charge of the design plan? Eliza nodded and explained in a hurry, I did draft a plan for the amusement park, but that's not what you are holding. You must have taken the wrong one. A deep frown appeared on Nate's face. Are you accusing me of causing the mix-up? What do you take me for? I didn't make any mistakes. This is the plan that we've chosen. Sensing that Nate was offended by her choice of words, Eliza immediately adjusted her tone and put on a polite smile. Sir, I didn't mean that. Please don't get me wrong. It's just that the plan you have was designed by a newcomer named Lorraine Torres. It was never approved by the director. Mine was the one that got approved. That's why I'm surprised. It's against the company's rules for Lorraine to submit her own plan to you behind our back.
You shouldn't settle for hers. Eliza accused Lorraine in order to make sure her plan was chosen instead. Nate glanced at her and explained, "We got the previous plan. But we weren't satisfied with it. The project was placed on hold because the design plan was revised too many times. The construction team has been on their toes for far too long. We ask that your department send all the design plans to us. After taking close looks at all of them, we settled for this one. It's the best." Eliza sprang to her feet and shook her head vigorously. "That's not possible. How can a newbie's design plan that was drafted in just 2 weeks be better than mine?" Nate slapped the table impatiently. "Mind your words. The design you drafted is not creative and unique enough. You practically copied ideas from amusement parks that are already in existence. On the other hand, Miss Torres' design plan was so unique and interesting. It appeals to all ages and social groups. More so, she took into account potential safety problems and advised us on how they can be dealt with. Not only that, she stated how the equipment can be installed. None of these were in your work." Every word he said made Eliza's face turn pale. She couldn't think straight or speak. At this moment, Nate dismissed her coldly. "You should improve your ability instead of bad-mouthing others. Please leave and bring Miss Torres here." Chapter 50. Eliza had no choice but to leave dejectedly. She didn't have the courage to speak to Lorraine. To avoid embarrassment, she passed the message through one of the workers. The fact that Lorraine went into the meeting room after Eliza left dejectedly raised the eyebrows of the employees. Not long after, they found out that Lorraine had closed the huge deal instead of Eliza. All the employees, including those that didn't like Lorraine, flocked around her to congratulate her. Eliza was left in the shadows. It was as if she wasn't the same woman who was worshipped a while back. From a secluded corner, Eliza watched as everyone flattered Lorraine endlessly. A sharp pain tugged at her heartstrings. Her eyes were bloodshot at this time. Why did a newbie become a worthy contender overnight? She couldn't accept this. Eliza vowed to do everything within her power to teach Lorraine a lesson once she became the director. A few days later, all the employees in the design department received the promotion email from the HR department. Some of them rushed to Eliza's cubicle and fawned at her before checking the email. "Eliza, your time is now. Everyone will start addressing you as the director from today. Don't forget us after you get promoted." A radiant smile sat on Eliza's face at this moment. She had been depressed after her design plan was written off. But her sadness dissipated now that there was good news. She flipped her hair back and said proudly, "Of course, I will remember my loyal colleagues. I'll be the best director you guys have ever had. Under my leadership, this department will flourish. I'm not like someone in this office who won just by pure luck. She's too much of a maverick to hold such a high office. She shouldn't blame others when she lands into trouble in the future." Humph. It was obvious that Eliza was mocking Lorraine. The others agreed with her shamelessly. "Yes, you are the most capable in this department. Only someone who's a down-to-earth team player deserves to be picked by the management. And that person is you. Eliza, you have a lot of experience. You can manage the department well. On the other hand, the newbie is just someone who thinks too highly of herself because she won a deal. She doesn't even take us seriously." "Exactly." While most of the designers were around Eliza, Jolie was still in her cubicle. She was unhappy to hear them slandering Lorraine. How shameless. She hasn't become director yet, but she's already putting up airs.